cameras, decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with...
Glory!
That is correct. And today, I decided we will be traveling to Russia. Don't know why, just thought, why not? They're full of secrets, and I thought maybe they've got some interesting cases for us. And they do! They do. And so today we are going to journey into the frozen heart of the Soviet Union. So if you don't know, the Soviet Union was the name of Russia and its captured states during the Cold War. And we are going to uncover the twisted legacy of one of history's most sadistic serial killers. They called him the Butcher of Rostov. If I pronounce that wrong, I don't speak any Russian. But it is okay.
Wow.
His real name was Andriy Chikatilo. Yes. Again, Russian. A seemingly ordinary man with a horrifying secret. The blood of over 50 victims on his hands. So, Andriy was born in 1936 in a small Ukrainian village. And his early life was defined by pain, shame, and scarcity. His childhood was brutal. Stalin's man-made famine, known as the Holodomor, was in full swing. Food was so scarce that Andriy believed his older brother had been eaten by the neighbors.
What?
That's a bit wild.
Okay.
A rumor his mother repeated to keep him in line. And that's so funny. Imagine being like, if you're naughty, I'm going to feed you to the neighbors.
that's one way to keep a kid in line for real.
He was bullied for his quiet nature, struggled academically despite being intelligent, and perhaps most crucially, he suffered from impotence from a young age. That frustration, humiliation, and rage would boil beneath the surface for decades, waiting to erupt. He became a teacher, married, had children. From the outside, a quiet Soviet man. But inside, a storm was building. And I mean, I feel like this happens with a lot of people. It's like the issues are not dealt with, and they just get worse.
It's like a volcano slowly waiting to erupt.
Andriy committed his first known murder in 1978. He lured a 9-year-old girl named Yelena Zakatnova into a hut near a river in Shakhty. He attempted to rape her, failed, and in a frenzied panic, stabbed her to death. He mutilated her body and dumped her in the river. Wowzers. The man named Alexander Kravchenko, these Russian names are really a lot. Alexander Kravchenko, who had a prior conviction, was wrongly arrested and actually executed for the crime. Imagine being executed for something you didn't do. And so Andriy got away with his first murder, and that only emboldened him. Between 1981 and 1990, Andriy committed a spree of murders that terrified the Soviet Union. Yo, imagine you're already living under communism. And now you must also worry about a serial killer. That's a lot.
Yeah.
His victims were young women, teenagers, and children, both boys and girls. Many were runaways, orphans, or simply at the wrong place at the wrong time. He'd approach them near train stations or markets, lure them into the woods with promises of food or gifts. Which makes sense because food was not a thing. I mean, it was being rationed. It was controlled by the government. You couldn't just go to the shops and buy yourself a chocolate. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I understand why people would follow if you promised food, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He'd then stab, slash, and mutilate them, often in horrific ways. Sometimes he removed eyes, tongues, or genitalia. Many were cannibalized. All were desecrated. That's getting a bit much now.
You're
going way overboard. Can't be that hungry you're going to eat a human being. I'm just saying. Eat a tree instead. I'm just
a tree, definitely.
The leaves. Eat the leaves.
Jeez.
You're going to eat a human instead of a tree.
I'm not going to eat a human instead of a tree, but I'm not going to eat tree leaves.
Okay, but if you have nothing.
I'm still not going to eat tree leaves.
Tree human.
That's nothing. All I'll eat nothing.
So you'll die. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then he would vanish, leaving behind only horror and confusion. The police were overwhelmed. They had no experience with serial killers. In fact, under Soviet ideology, serial murder didn't exist. How do you just be like, guys, it doesn't exist? Yeah, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. It was seen as a Western illness. Imagine. Imagine. That denial allowed Alexandri to keep killing. But I imagine it would, because nobody believes you exist. Now you think that each of these killings is an individual person. I mean, no wonder this guy never got caught for so many years. As the bodies piled up, so did the pressure on Soviet authorities. They wrongfully arrested dozens of men. They don't seem like they're very good authorities, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
At least 3 men were executed. Okay, yeah, Russia's not... the Soviets were not great. I mean, they just killed people left, right, and center. So these executions aren't much of a surprise. The public began to panic. Parents feared for their children. The press was tightly controlled, but whispers of a forest maniac began to spread. The psychological profile was created by Dr. Alexandra Bakhanovsky, one of the first criminal profilers in the Soviet Union. He predicted the killer would be middle-aged, sexually dysfunctional, and a powerless man in his daily life. And this was chillingly accurate. Finally, in 1990, after years of evasion, Andriy slipped up. He was spotted behaving suspiciously near a train station in Novocherkassk, in an area where several bodies had been found. He was arrested not for murder, but for a theft of a briefcase. But police had him. They knew who he was. They kept him under surveillance, and when his DNA and blood type was tested, they initially ruled him out. His blood type didn't match the killer's, at least not according to the primitive Soviet testing methods. But modern science would later reveal his blood type was different in saliva than in semen, a rare genetic anomaly. That's really weird.
I don't know.
This is weird. I've never heard of people having different blood types. Okay, maybe it is a rare anomaly. They did say it's rare. The police questioned him for days. Then, when the doctor was brought in to profile and speak with him, the monster cracked. In a harrowing and cold-blooded confession, he admitted to over 50 murders. He spoke of the thrill, the rage, the sexual release he felt through killing. He described in horrifying detail how he would lure his victims, attack them, and mutilate their bodies. He called the murders necessary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely.
His crimes weren't just about lust. They were about power, control, and revenge on a world that had made him feel small. He said, and I quote, "I was like a mad beast. I couldn't stop." I do definitely think there is something like it's an addiction.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I'm saying? That you're wanting to get that high, and instead of getting it from drugs, he's getting it from killing someone.
Yeah.
You're like, that's a lot worse than maybe taking some drugs. Just saying, because at least the drugs only affect you. They don't affect the other people.
You know what's interesting about this? Because, I mean, just with comparison, that someone who takes drugs as opposed to, you know, someone that kills people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, drug addicts end up, like, dying after a period of time. What happens to these guys if they don't get arrested?
That's a very scary thought. And I mean, there are serial killers that haven't been arrested. We've dealt with Jack the Ripper. We have dealt with the Zodiac Killer. But my thing is, they eventually stop, which means something stopped them. I've always said either they went to prison for something else, they got sick, they died. But I don't think you can, like, for example, with the Zodiac or Jack the Ripper specifically, I don't think you can kill five people and then be like, okay, I give up now. It's like, I'm quitting smoking. I'm quitting killing. I don't think that's an option.
Yeah.
I think it's, like I said, it's an addiction, but I think it's a lot more psychological because you're taking somebody's life. That's not like lighting a cigarette. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I firmly don't believe that a serial killer can just be like, okay, I've killed five people. That was my goal. Now I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
And if they did have that revelation, then why? Then they should have turned themselves in.
Yeah.
But it's quite scary. How many serial killers have slipped through the cracks? Wrong people being arrested? Things like that. I mean, we saw here, there was like four people wrongfully arrested and executed for this guy's crimes. Okay, to be fair, there was probably... That was also the fault of the Soviet Union for not believing in serial killers. But besides the point. So... Andriy's trial began in 1992 and was a spectacle. He was kept in a metal cage.
Okay.
Deep. It feels like back in the 1700s. He was kept in this cage during the proceedings for the public safety. Makes sense. I feel like he'd jump over the barricade in the courtroom and start eating somebody's face.
Wow.
Nobody would. He's a weirdo. Okay. He would howl, bang his head, and act like a lunatic. You see, this also makes me think there's a bit of demonic possession there.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, that's completely...
Yeah, but I mean, like, the banging of the head and stuff.
And the howling? Like an animal? No, that's whack. That is weird.
Probably from all the blood.
Oh, but the experts say it was all an act.
Sure.
I don't agree with that. The evidence was overwhelming. His own confession, the victim list, and the details only he could have known. In 1994, Andriy was executed with a single gunshot to the head. He was 58 years old. His death marked the end of a nightmare, but the scars of his crimes remained etched into Russia's memory. Andriy's crimes exposed the cracks in a system that refused to believe evil could thrive within its borders. You know, that's very hypocritical because your people are starving and you think crime is not going to increase because you're not feeding your people.
Yeah.
And they are hungry and you think they're not going to steal. That's 1 + 1 = 5, not 1 + 1 = 2. Of course, I'm not surprised there was crime in the Soviet Union. I do think it was more... under wraps to the point that if you committed a crime, it was over for you. You would find yourself dead or in a prison for the rest of your life because the Soviets didn't play games. Yeah. But I think they made it seem like there was no crime happening to the rest of the world because, well, we only knew what was happening in the Soviet Union, what they let us know. I feel like there was probably more crime than we thought. I mean, like, just this guy killed 50 people.
Yeah.
Can't tell me there's no crime in Russia. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Like I said, I do think they had an increased police and military presence. But when people don't have food, why do you think everybody was trying to run away? Why do you think they had to build the wall in Berlin? To keep people from running away.
Yeah,
that's just sad.
Quite interesting because here in South Africa, not so long ago, I mean, there was widespread news of guys called Zamazamas, which are basically illegal miners.
Yes.
And there's a spot not far from where we're actually recording this place where people are mining illegally. And it was rumored that, well, for obvious reasons, because they're there for such a long time mining illegally and staying underground, getting minerals, that, you know, they started eating each other. Because obviously there's no, like, food.
I wouldn't be surprised, but that's still disgusting.
I know.
Can't think of anything worse. He was a product of a repressed, brutal, and rigid society, one that turned a blind eye until it was too late. More than 50 lives were stolen, family shattered, justice delayed, and yet his capture reshaped criminal investigation in Russia forever. To this day, he remains the most infamous serial killer in the world, a predator hiding in plain sight, a man who looked ordinary but was capable of unimaginable horror. And I think, you know, with this case, it's with the whole thing of Russia saying we don't have serial killers, right? You can't just delete flaws from society.
Yeah.
Just be like, they don't exist. That would be like the South African government saying, we don't have pothole problems. We have a pothole problem. Just drive on some of our roads, okay? You yeah. can't just ignore it, because guess what? The potholes then don't get fixed. Just like this. This guy didn't get caught for years because they just refused to believe that he existed. And I think that is a travesty, because... yeah, you just can't... I wish we could just delete everything wrong with society. The world would be a very nice place to live in, but it mm-hmm. doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't.
You can't I remember we were reading a book for English at school, and what they did was, in this book, the government removed all words like revolution, rebellion, a rebel from... the dictionary. So they wiped it out from society, so that generations later, people had, if you've never heard of a revolution, you won't know to revolt.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. Okay. 100%.
So, I mean, I know you can affect history, but I mean, also that is a book, but I'm just was using it as an example that, you can't just delete something, because at the end of the book they end up rebelling anyway. That's the whole point of the story. But yeah, you can't just delete societal problems. You can't be like, oh guys, we don't have any poverty in our country, oh guys, we don't have any rape in our I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, you can't do that. And I think that was Russia's mistake. They decided to be like, no, we have to present to the world that we are perfect, because they wanted to seem better than America.
Yeah.
And so if America has lunatic serial killers and Russia doesn't, then like Russia's kind of won that point.
Mm.
But then at the cost of what? 50 people being killed? 4 men being executed wrongly? Guys, the Soviet Union was a lot. It's a, if I could deep dive into that, I think I'd never come out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... they're doing all they can to protect their image.
But that still doesn't...
creates
like,
that false...
like, it doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah.
Because then
I mean,
it's a false image. And at the end of the day, they're still being killed.
You know, one thing that obviously you would have noticed, in doing this show is that despite the fact that we speak about all of these criminals, the psychopaths...
yeah.
The cannibals and all of these things.
Yes.
The real criminals here are the people that we do not mention.
Yeah.
They know who they are.
Lori's here trying to get us assassinated.
No, not really.
Or arrested for...
I mean, to be fair, despite what I said, they don't have real evidence of who we are talking about.
Yeah, but they know in their hearts.
Yeah, it's fine. As long as I haven't said any names, then no
fair
assumptions
enough.
Can be made.
Fair enough. At the end of the day, we did a show recently where we said crime is everywhere. It's not just in the rural areas. It's not just it's not just with the mentally insane. I mean, a criminal can be wearing a doctor's coat or a school teacher's... I don't know what school teacher's coat. I don't know. Or a politician's blazer. Or even a film director's camera. I mean, it can... evil can be anywhere. And in this case, evil was thriving because, well, higher-ups refused to believe it was real.
Mm.
So anyway, but that is the story of the butcher. I'm not going to repeat the Russian name. But it was very interesting to find out. And I think what I found most interesting about this case was how it was dealt with in the Soviet Union. Because we deal with so, like I said, we know so little about what happened in Russia during that time period. So it's very interesting to now look and be like, okay, so this is how they handled criminal cases. Because when you think of the Soviet Union, you just think about the Cold War.
Yeah.
You don't really think, oh, wait, they had crime as well. they also were dealing with that. I mean, every society deals with that. But yeah, is there anything you'd like to add before we finish? No? Right. Well, we hope you enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.